Mr. Keith has asked me to get things started. There's a lot of course, exciting things that have been happening this week. It's been a fun-filled and action-packed week for some people. And I just want to make a few comments about the needs that we have with respect to the police citizens review process, because that sometimes is getting lost in the mix here. And I want to report to you about a series of conversations that I had with some BART people about a complaint that I had based on a Monday, May 18th quote in the San Francisco Chronicle. There is an article by Ms. Rachel Good Gordon, a Chronicle staff writer who does a fine job in outlining the police accountability proposal from the perspective mainly of the auditor. And it provides an analysis of that, and as well as quotes BART public affairs spokesperson, Mr. Linton Johnson, who is a brother. And interestingly enough, they have one column, two columns, about three columns devoted to the description of the auditor's role. Does it sound familiar? What we were talking about before last week. The newspaper has several columns devoted to talking about describing the auditor's role, but a sentence, one sentence, to describe the Citizens Advisory Board, of which it says a Citizens Advisory Board related to police matters also would be set up under the plan. Now, this is why it's important for us to keep our eyes on the total prize, because there's not just one fight that we're waging here, is there? There's a lot of different fights on a lot of different fronts, and we have to fight them all intelligently. And so then I would subscribe to you that those of you who come to or just might happen to know about the meeting that's going to happen on June the 1st, 2009 at 10 a.m. At the BART boardroom, which is located at 344 20th Street. You might just coincidentally happen to be in the neighborhood. And if you're in the neighborhood and you just happen to show up at that meeting where God willing, myself and Minister Keith will be there, if you show up with fire, make sure that your fire brings light and not just heat. You see what I'm saying? We can't just go in there scorching these folk when they're wrong. And they do be wrong. But we can't scorch them with heat. We have to bring light. So then I'm saying is that we can talk about what's wrong and we can see what's wrong and we can see what's deficient. But we need people who have the type of a critical eye that at the same time you can see what's wrong, you can imagine what's right. Your mind automatically goes to right, just like you can see shadow. The shadow cannot be created if light isn't hitting some other solid object and you have it to reflect it. So you have to be a reflecting type of person. Reflect on what's being said. And don't just see everything as just, okay, well, we just got to be on the attack. And so then, if you have concrete proposals around what is presented, then come with it. But don't just come criticizing and saying that the plan is deficient and the system is bankrupt. We already know that. They know that, and they're getting good pay. They've paid good money to keep that in place. They don't need you to tell them that they're sitting on a corrupt system. Thank you, because they get paid to know that and keep it in place. What we have to do is put them in check right? In a good way. Not in a way that, that destroys them and destroys us. Because destroying them is not going to help us.
Yeah.
What we want to have is a policy in place that regardless of what happens, we're going to see a change in the police, in the very police culture. I don't know if y'all understand what we're talking about here. We want to see something that changes the entire culture of the BART police. Not just something that spanks them on the hand and gets rid of them or puts them on trial when they're murderers and all of that, but something that actually changes the culture of a militaristic paramilitary outfit. Last night I had the great privilege of being in the company of the Reverend Dr. Jeremiah Wright, who, let's talk to him. See, I can identify with Brother Jeremiah Wright. If you read the Bible, you see that Jeremiah has quite a bit of space in the Bible. Both in his own prophecy and in his lamentations also. Matter of fact, the critique of Jeremiah from the Bible is so deep and so entrenched in U.S. culture that you can find the word Jeremiah in the dictionary. And a Jeremiah is a critique of the system coming from a prophetic voice. That was in there before this Reverend Wright Obama thing. So the brother was living up to his name as a prophet. But one of the things that he said last night that was really deep among the many deep things that he said was, as it said, the scripture, that all scripture, and he was quoting somebody else, but I don't know who he was quoting, so I'm just going to give him the credit. But he was saying that all scripture, if you look at the history of when it was actually written, talking about Christian scripture, Jewish scripture, Hebrew scripture, that's scripture. And he didn't mention Arabic scripture, but I would submit this too under this analysis that he was saying. He said that all the language that it was written in was written during a time of being oppressed. So then the Old Testament was written under an Egyptian oppression. And then there's Babylonian oppression that produced a certain amount of scripture. A lot of prophecies are written during the Babylonian period, right? And then there's Greek oppression. And so we know the Apostle Paul spoke what? That's right. And during Jesus' time when they were being taxed by who? Rome, which was a police state, like what we live in. So then at every moment that scripture or history was being recorded, there was a foot of oppression on the people that were recording in history. So that at the same time that God's blessings were going on, that there was oppression going on at the same time. We are at a point right now, you think about it, we're at the beginning of this century. This would be the last half a point that I try to make here before I sit down. We're at the beginning of this century. Everybody in here is the first generation of adults in your family for this century. For this century, think about it. I don't know if you knew who you was, but that's who we are. Let's give ourselves a hand for that. Because for whom much is given, much is required. God has put us at the beginning of this century and at the end of the other one for some particular reason. It's not a coincidence, because here we are, we're all together. We're of one mind right now on these situations. We're the first generation in this century that can have a difference on what's going to happen for the next seven generations. Seven generations will pretty much take up this whole century, won't it? But if we're wise in the way that we create these policy changes, we're wise in a way that we struggle around not only just BART and justice for Oscar Grant and the changing of the police culture. If we're wise, we'll be in a position to be able to pass something on historically that our descendants will be proud to say, I'm glad that that group of people was alive at the beginning of this century, because they said it right so it didn't go back the way it was before. That's the opportunity that we have right now, my friend. And this is why I say we have to keep our eyes on the total prize. And if you bring your fire, you can have some heat. Make sure that you bring more light than heat. Or for those of you who cook, you can bring your cayenne. But you know, too much of anything is going to ruin it. So thank you.
That's all right.